On today's show, Mark Cuban wants to protest a play in the third quarter of the Mavs-Warriors game. What's going to happen with that? And which teams in the West do you believe in? I don't know if that it's many. We'll talk about that and more on today's Locked On NBA. Let's go.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome. You are locked on to the NBA. My name is Nick Engstead, host of the Locked On Mavericks podcast, your team every day. Thanks for being part of the show and making Locked On NBA your first listen each and every day. Subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Let us know in the comment section below on YouTube. Add us on Twitter at Nick Van Exit, at Pat the Designer. Which West teams do you believe in? Let us know in the comment section below. Joining me, as always, on a Thursday, host of Locked On Bulls. What you got for me, Pat the Designer? Ball going this way, ball going this way. I'm on one side of the court. You're on that one. Who's on first? We'll talk about the Mavs-Warriors craziness. I was in the building for that one, so we'll definitely talk about what happened there and Mark Cuban's protest. A couple people cyberdust messaging Mark Cuban after that game, getting some clarification on that. You don't remember that app? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Warriors maybe figuring some stuff out. And then let's talk about which Western Conference teams do you believe in? Because it's some, but it's not many at this point in the year. And so we'll talk about that. And then, of course, we'll play our favorite game every single week.
Count it up,
where we count out the most interesting, fun things in the NBA. Let's start here, though. I can't believe I have to do this again. Dallas Mavericks lose the game 125 to 127 against the Golden State Warriors. And in the third quarter, about a minute 56 left, out of bounds. Looks like it goes out of bounds on Looney, but it was actually out of bounds on the Mavericks. Referee says points Warriors ball. And then he points Warriors ball first. He goes back and then he goes Mavs ball. Mavs timeout. And he double points. And so everyone's confused. And then they go to the actual timeout because Mavs did call a timeout. And then they go to the timeout. And then in the timeout, after the timeout, when the play resumes, Mavs go on one side of the court. Referee goes with them. And then the Warriors go on the other side of the court, their side of the court. They inbound the ball quickly. They get a score. While that's happening, two Mavs players are walking up to half court because they were about to go inbound the ball because they thought it was their ball. And they were like, why are the Warriors all on that side of the court? They were all confused. Usually in a play like this, the refs will just like combine everyone together and just huddle up and be like, all right, let's figure this out. Let's set it right. They didn't do it in this point. They decided not to. And so Mark Cuban, after the game, tweets out, for those wondering about the play with a minute 55 to go in the third, he talks about the ref called Mavs ball. The announcer called it. Sean Heath, the Mavs like PA announcer, said it was Mavs ball. So he was confused too. His word is not like gospel in this scenario. It's the ref's word at a certain point. And so then, during the timeout, Mark Cuban says, the official changed the call, that's not true, and never told us, that's probably true. Then, when they saw us line up as if it were our ball, he just gave the ball to the Warriors. Never said a word to us. They got an easy basket. Crazy that it would matter in a two-point game. Worst officiating non-call mistake possibly in the history of the NBA. All they had to do was tell us, and they didn't. Shams Charania reports the Mavericks are going to file an official protest, which they have to do within 48 hours. It takes 5 days for the Mavericks to present their evidence. Then the commissioner, Adam Silver, has 5 days to review that evidence, and then they make a ruling. Mavericks also have to pay $10,000. Pat, the designer, is that a $10,000 donation the Mavericks just made to make this protest, and why are they doing it?
Yep, and they're doing it just to, I guess, just to kind of pile on a little bit more. The referees have been very awful throughout the entire NBA this season. There's a handful of refs that we really can look at and be like, good job, bud. Keep doing that, please, because we don't see it enough.
Well, we don't know their names is the problem. Like, we know all the names of the refs that aren't good.
And that's the good part. You know what I mean? Like, like there's literally a ref. I like him. He looks like Gucci Mane. I call him Gucci Mane ref. Like, this is literally what I call him. It's Gucci ref. And here's the best part. Everyone listening knows who Gucci ref is. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, but to me, this isn't on the referees. As much as everybody would, like, I think this is why Dallas wants to jump on. This is not on the refs. I watched that play probably 15 times after you sent me what Cuban said, literally from different angles. I watched it zoomed in at before, right? They put it on ESPN zoomed in. I just zoomed in on it myself because you could do that on YouTube now. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Supreme
you literally can see the ref say
Warriors ball.
Warriors ball.
Yeah.
And then he turns, points to the Mavs bench. And I believe it's Kevon Looney. Like, that's not their ball. I didn't touch it.
Yes.
And he literally says, Mavs timeout. Steve Kerr knew what was going on. The Warriors knew what was going on. You have to clarify. Your job as head coach is to know what is going on. It can't be, oh, the Mavs announcer said it's our ball. I guess I'll draw up an offensive play. That's not how basketball works.
So the ref that called it Warriors ball goes over and he calls Mavs timeout and he double points. He like points and he points again. And I think that's where the confusion came from on the Mavs side of it. This from the Mavericks, though, is just another in like a slew of missing details, malaise of the regular season. Luka was returning for the first game in like five or six games that he's missed with a thigh injury. And he was complaining to the refs as much as he normally does. I was asking him about it after the game and he admits it's a problem that he has. We'll see what happens if he fixes it. He said he has to go into the offseason and see how he can work on it. Does my guy have to go
like
meditate?
Like every offseason? You know what I mean?
Does my guy have to go meditate? I don't know what he's going to do. Him and Kyrie are going to burn some sage together and try and figure
Just
it out.
Do it.
The pool reporter, Tim Cato, asked the referees, why was the possession given to the Warriors in that play after it was originally signaled to the Mavericks? Crew chief Wright says, initially on the floor, the original signal was, in fact, Golden State Warriors ball. This can be seen on video. There's a second signal, but that signal is for a mandatory timeout that was due to the Mavericks. So it was just a confusing thing. Now the Mavericks are making this protest. The protest isn't going anywhere. Like they have to pay $10,000 for this. It's a $10,000 donation to the league. Mark Cuban might as well just like say,
it'll barely make it out of their building. I mean, let me ask you this, though, because you are host of Locked On Mavs. Is it concerning to you that even in this situation, it seems from your head coach to just be such a lack of attention to detail?
Yeah.
I feel like that's been such a theme this season.
I mean, that was my point earlier. I mean, the Mavericks now, after losing this game, have 9 clutch losses just since Kyrie's debut, a month ago, like 5-6 weeks ago at this point. And he's missed a bunch of games, and Luka's missed a bunch of games. And like, they've had injuries, sure, but like, they're still losing these games. How many compilations have we seen this year of Mavs final plays where it's the same play over and over again that hasn't worked before? They're just trying the same thing over and over again. Yeah. The Mavericks this season have allowed like 50 points in the paint like 20 times. Like, it's just insane that this team, they don't defend. They're not crisp on their defense. Their out of timeout plays have been really bad this year. I think last season, the Mavericks were a well-coached team. I think they knew who they were. They had an identity. They had leadership on the team, I thought, with Jalen Brunson and Dorian Finney-Smith, and now they're gone. And you see how hard it is to like be a good coaching staff when you lose leadership on the court like that. And they bring in Kyrie, and I think Kyrie now has to be that leader that steps up. And he wasn't even playing in this game tonight. But I don't think the staff has done a good job this season. Defensively, they don't know what they're doing, but they have just had a bunch of injuries. They've had a bunch of, you know, weird personnel things. They had that big trade that took two big rotation players who were playing like 35, 40 minutes a game, took them out of it. And now they replace him with Kyrie, who's on and off because of this foot injury he has now. And so it's just been one problem after another. And for this Mavericks team, this whole situation does kind of like encapsulate what the season has been. It's just a mess. Like, it's just a confusing mess where it feels like the Mavericks are on one side of things and it feels like reality's on the other side of things.
That's the part where I'm just looking at it. I'm just like, but it seems to make sense to everyone else. Like, just stop doing that.
You know what the problem is? We're going to talk about West teams and like, this team can still be sixth or fifth in the West. Like, coming up, let's talk about which West teams we believe in, because this Dallas Mavericks team could still be one of them. And the Warriors are now getting a couple of road wins under their belt, and they could be one of them. Like, who do we believe in the West? We'll talk about that coming up. But before we do, let me tell you about this app that you and I personally have connected on a very deep, on a deep level.
It's dangerous out here.
It's the ultimate, pro basketball GM mobile game. You and I have been texting about this for like weeks now. Honestly, I feel like you and I are the most obsessed with this app on the whole network. We love it. You can get in there. You can make trades. You can draft. You can do free agency. You hire coaches. You build facilities. You do all this intricate stuff, and it all builds up. You can win championships. How many titles has your team won now?
I've still won four, but I was just in the finals.
Four.
And I set an NBA record in the finals. I lost in the finals after leading 3-0.
You pulled a 3-0. So my team has been in the conference finals like five times and been in the finals once after a 70-win season and lost. Although we've not won a title yet. It's been brutal. But that's how hard the game can be. So download it. It's the Ultimate Pro Basketball GM game. You can go to probasketballgm.com. Use the promo code Locked On in the game store. You'll get that extra boost. You're going to need it. Go check it out. Again, Ultimate Pro Basketball GM.
You are going to need it.
All right, Pat, now that we're done talking about our favorite new game, let's...
We have a problem.
I admit it. I'm obsessed with this game. Let's talk about the Western Conference. This season is so nuts because it seems like every week we're like, all right, the Lakers are done. We're done talking about them. They're 10th now. They're in the play-in. Anthony Edwards goes down. Karl-Anthony Towns is down. Timberwolves are out of it. Nope, they're still right in it. Warriors can't win on the road. They're out of it. Nope, they're back into it. Clippers, Paul George goes down. Well, they're still in it.
Yeah.
Mavericks, they lose games all the time here and there. The fourth seed to the 12th seed is separated by three games. Three games at this point. Let's start going through. We'll do this like draft style. Let's start talking about teams that we still believe in the West. I'll let you go first. Who do you believe in? And I'm defining believe as I think they can go to the Western Conference Finals. That's all I'm going to say. It's like, I think they can make it there. Not even finals, just Western Conference Finals. They can win two rounds.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to go out strong. I still believe in the Clippers.
We're starting with the Clippers. Lost Paul George probably for the season.
But facts, right? And that's the major loss. But that Clippers team was built pretty deep.
Hey, I don't even know if Darian Vaziri of Locked On Clippers believes the Clippers.
Well, Darian's got history with this team tell you he doesn't believe in them.
He's been a Clippers fan for like 18 years.
You said to make the Western Conference Finals. I didn't say they were going to get to the NBA championship out here. But I believe in the Clippers in a way that... If Kawhi Leonard is healthy, I think we've seen that with everything that's great in the Western Conference, he's still one of the most dominant players on the basketball court. And when you see him on the court, he goes out there and proves that on a night-in, night-out basis. It's actually impressive. Like, I get why, like, they did the whole, like, I love you robot thing. Like, when you watch him play, it's just like, you're a machine. You don't remember that? I think that was on, like, they clipped, like, his laugh and then, like, the TikTok kid. He's like, I love you robot. But it's one of those things where, to me, I look at, okay, who's got the deepest team and who's going to have one of the best players. And I think that, to me, it's still the Clippers just because there is a little bit of defensive intensity kind of in their game because of Kawhi. But a lot of that was also involved with Paul George. So that could change.
They are 14th in the league in defense right now. They are, over the last 2 weeks, are 18th in the league. Or they're... Yeah, they're not. They have not been good.
They're going the other direction.
They're going in the wrong direction.
Losing PG will hurt you.
We're losing recipes. The Clippers is your first pick. I'm still going Nuggets. Give me that. This team should come out of the West. Like this is the team right now. Still, if you're looking at a team, got the multiple time MVP. I still believe they can make the Western Conference Finals for sure. Like I still think they're one of the deepest teams. They're top five. Is really good. They have multiple guys that can just go off on you. Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter WCF, Jr. Like you can go, they can go off on and score.
Yeah.
There's no teams in the West that are like, besides the Grizzlies, I guess, that are really stopping you a ton.
Yeah.
Like the Memphis is third in the league in defense. The next West team is New Orleans, who's eighth, and I don't even know if they're gonna get drafted. And then the Suns, who are ninth, which we don't even know what the Suns are
at
this point in the season. And then it's
a lot of that defensive intensity is pre Mikal Bridges being there.
Fair, fair. And then it's the Timberwolves who just added Cat back, and then it's the Thunder. The next best defensive team, but I still believe in this Nuggets team. I mean, I think that this should be the shortest one we do, but yeah, give me another one.
I mean, that was my Western Conference Finals. You know what I mean? Like Nuggets and Clippers. Yeah, that was probably my WCF. And you know what?
It'd be your second round. So.
Well, it'd be second round, yeah, with how it's sitting right now. I'll also throw I'll throw the Warriors in there. You know what I mean?
Wow. Like
they've got the pedigree. I know the road record and how bad it is. First off, they're kind of turning it around a little bit. But I'll throw the Warriors in there because there is something to be said about being in those moments, right? And when you look at kind of the teams that the Warriors are going to have to go through, you just kind of sit there and you're like, okay, we're starting off with who they start off with? The Kings, right? We're starting off with the Kings. You ain't even been in the playoffs in almost 20 years. You know what I mean? Like,
that one's tough.
I feel like this is going to be a fun season that hopefully you get a little experience, but come on, you're going the other way. I don't know. I still have that vibe of championship experience takes you a very long way in these playoffs because you know how to navigate those tough moments.
This Warriors team, though, is not deep anymore. And their strength in numbers team had been their thing. Now, Wiggins is still out for personal reasons. We're still not sure what's going on with him. You know, hopefully everything's going well with his family and everything. It doesn't seem like it is. And so we hope that
it does not.
He can come back. So Gary Payton II, they traded for him back, and then they had all that injury stuff happen with him. So, like, this team is not deep. And so I'm concerned about that for them. But I just watched them in person, and Draymond Green is still so good. I mean, he took this game away from the Mavericks tonight and just defensively was everywhere. I think he had 4 steals and 3 blocks. Just an incredible defensive presence that can take over a game. And, of course, you have Steph Curry, who was not good in this game tonight, I don't think, at least for his standards. And he can be incredible and still is one of the best players. But he hit one of the most insane shots I've ever seen alive in this game. Warriors. I've been a naysayer. You and I got to do the post-trade episode of this one. I've been somebody that's shared doubts, but if I'm going to pick another team, it's going to be the Suns. Like, I think if anything this season, the West is so wide open. Like, we may only have 150-win team in the West this year. It is so wide open, and there's teams with so many issues and flaws that it's so wide open for the Suns right now. Just Kevin Durant comes back, him and Devin Booker, Chris Paul gets to be the facilitator and doesn't have to take tough shots down the stretch. Like, they can still rely on Booker and Kevin Durant. Ayton can just man the middle if he can just, you know, be fine with that team and be okay with his role for the rest of this season and can play that, you know, rim protector, rebounder type guy. And they get something else from those other guys, you know, their end of the bench guys, the Okogies, who's left, the Damian Lees, the Terrence Rosses, the Ish Wainwrights, like the Torrey Craigs. Like, if they can get something from one or two of those other guys, like, I still think that this team can go to the Western Conference Finals fairly easily to me.
I was with you on that, but my biggest concern, and when they made it, I said, this is the Suns.
Until I forgot to say campaign, right? Once I didn't say campaign.
No. No, I was with you on that, and right when they made the trade, I said, I thought the Suns, this is their year to get to the NBA Finals. Like, they should be able to win this thing.
Yeah.
All until you saw Kevin Durant go down, and it just seemed like the Suns forgot how to play basketball.
Well,
you know what I mean? So, like, I think that, right, like, when
they traded two rotation players away, and when you lose him and you don't have those two like, that hurts. But
it does hurt, for sure. But when one player goes down and you've still got Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton, and you can't figure out how to beat some of these teams, it does bring a little more pause into my mindset with how far you can go. So I hope Kevin Durant. Here's our long shot one, right? Here's our long shot one. Oh. Just throw it out there. How far do Lakers get?
Yo.
Here's why I say it. They win tonight. For everybody listening on Locked On, pause it right now. I want you to answer this question. How far behind the Suns are the Los Angeles Lakers? Pause it give your answer, press play. Like, legit. When you figure out that it's like, oh, they're two games back. Oh, they really could be like a top four team in the Western Conference. And they have LeBron and AD.
He's not playing, though. Where's LeBron? Is he coming back?
I would hope he'd be back for the playoffs if once they get there. If oh they can get gosh. There. A play-in You got LeBron. Imagine this. You fight all year. You're the sons of the Timberwolves. And your reward is LeBron James and Anthony Davis in the play-in tournament.
Got a kid that's driving.
And then you get either the Nuggets or the Grizzlies. How far you got the Lakers going, Doug?
I don't know. I was looking up to see how old Bryce James is. Is he driving too? He's 15.
He's almost got
a kid with a driver's license and a kid with a permit. We're relying on LeBron James at this point. Yeah, I don't know about the Lakers. That's not a team I believe in at this point. As much as I know you love Austin Reeves, he's the new Alex Caruso, but I just can't get there with them.
Austin Reeves is a weird. He's got to shave the head. You got a full shave, bro.
It's part of our identity.
I know.
I think I'm out of West teams I believe in. I think I believe the Mavericks can get there. Yeah. Like, if everything goes right for them, like, I think there's a path for them. I do not believe in them to get there. Like, I'm not betting. Yeah. I'm not going to FanDuel and putting down the money that would it take for them to get to the Western Conference Finals. But I think they can get back there because I think Luka and Kyrie can get that hot. And I think the Mavs, if they're hitting threes, can beat anybody. But I don't believe in that. I think my list may end at Denver, the Suns, and the Warriors probably. Because the Grizzlies have a bunch of issues. The Kings, I think, are a great story. But I don't think their defense is so bad. Like, you just cannot... You can't win in the playoffs when your defense is that bad. Like, we haven't seen it in a while.
Kings need to win as much as possible so that they can avoid matchup nightmares.
Well, I mean, where are they going, though? I mean,
I'll say this.
Their first-round matchup won't be decided until the last day of the season, so I don't know
if if you can find your way to two, I might pick the Grizzlies over – or the – I'm sorry, the Kings over the Timberwolves. If you can find your way to two. I can't pick the Kings over the Warriors.
Yeah, but we're still trying to figure out who's going to win in the play-in.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too. I mean, right? Like,
it could still be Lakers.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough get,
too. Here are their matchups. It could be Lakers, Mavericks, Thunder, Timberwolves, Warriors.
Like, that's a tough get, too.
I mean, those are – and Clippers, even. Like, those are your options, basically. Pelicans,
Utah, just in case David Locke's listening. Utah.
Yeah, we did mention it. Utah. Those are the West teams we believe in. Let us know in the comment section below which West teams do you believe in. Coming up, where we count out the most interesting, fun things in the NBA, including Ja Morant's return to play. How soon is too soon? We'll talk about that coming up. But before we do, let me tell you about FanDuel. FanDuel is the number one sports book in America. It's the number one sports book for Locked On as well. Those Western Conference odds, conference winners. We got them right here. We just talked about who we believe to win the West. Who do you think FanDuel believes will win the West? Who's number one, you think?
I would say they probably still got Denver.
Denver, plus 280. Real close after that. Suns, plus 290.
Yeah.
Little gap, Memphis, plus 450. Another little gap, Warriors, plus 500. Then a big gap, Clippers, plus 1,100. Mavericks plus 1,300. This is to win the West. So this is who's going to the finals, basically. Or, yeah, to come out of it. Yep. And then Sacramento Kings plus 2,100. Kings are below the Lakers. They're at 2,100. Mavericks are plus 1,300. Like,
LeBron don't play for the Kings.
LeBron is the king. He's
king. The Kings don't play for the king.
He's the washed king. So if you feel
the washed king,
relax. You remember that? You remember the washed king?
I do.
If you want to bet on the washed king or whoever else, the actual kings, you can go to FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. See what's available for you. Get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. Guys, check it out at FanDuel.com. All right, Pat. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us in Locked On NBA, making us your first listen today. Go make your second listen today. Locked On Mavericks, Locked On Bulls. We got great stuff, even though our seasons are falling apart. We still will continue covering these teams throughout the offseason. And now let's do our favorite game every single week. Count it up, count it up, count it up, count it. Where we count out the most interesting, fun things in the NBA, including Ja Morant returning to action against the Houston Rockets got in there, had a poster, question mark. Wait, let's do the mini count up first.
Count it up.
Is that a poster? He dunked over KJ Martin, right?
It's a whip around and then back, and KJ Martin's in the picture. He's absolutely in the picture.
He's in the poster. As long as you're in the vicinity, that's a part of the poster.
I thought a poster was a body to body dunk. You know what I mean? I thought a Yuta Watanabe was a poster. You know what I mean? Like, poor Yuta. He can't get out the way.
He just does it to himself at this point. Ja Morant comes off the bench, though. Scores
10 out of 10 times I'd go for that.
17 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block, plays 24 minutes off the bench. I got a question, though.
Count it up.
How unnecessary was it for Ja to come off the bench?
This entire thing has been unnecessary. I'm not gonna lie. Like,
not the
suspension, not the NBA taking precautions and all that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm just talking about like this whole like, okay, now we got to do the interview process. Now we got to send them to counseling. Now we got to send them
in Florida.
Right? Like, what do we do? Right, counseling in Florida. Like, first off, like was the counseling at another strip club? Like, where was the counseling at?
Miami-Dade. You know what I mean?
Was Ja Morant's shirt on for the counseling? You know what I mean? Was his shirt on or off for the counseling? That's my question. None of this.
He redid his hair, right? Like, he probably just went. Yeah, he went to a barber shop.
He took degree. You know what I mean? Like, none of this to me, outside of the initial NBA's judgment and ruling, has been relevant to anything. Like, why is he coming off the bench? We're just trying to get him back in game shape. He's 20. What is he? 24? 23? He's in game shape.
Yeah. Can like roll out of bed and play an NBA game. Yeah, he's 23. He's not even 24 yet. My guy was born in 1999. That's tough.
Relax. Calm down. I mean, listen, shirts off in a strip club here. Like, he's in game shape. You know what I mean? This guy knows how to play.
He's a shooter. Then you had his dad, T. Morant, and his crew wearing these Redemption custom hoodies with Ja Morant on them. And I got another question.
Count it up.
How too soon is it to wear a Redemption hoodie that's custom with Ja Morant and sit courtside? Like, is T. Morant helping Ja Morant or is he not at this point?
What are we redeeming? What's being redeemed here? Are you redeeming your name, honor? What's being redeemed, right? Like, Ja Morant's name wasn't besmirched. He got punished for doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. Not the strip club part. He's a grown man. He can make his own decisions. But sitting there playing around with a gun, doing the nana-nana boo-boo, like, gun shake in the camera. Like, what are we doing? Are you trying to be his pops or his friend? And I'm not one to sit here and tell you how you parent your kids. But, like, what's he redeeming? Like, are you saying, oh, good job, son. You beat this one? Are we not beating cases out here, dog? What are we doing? Come on, T.
Yeah. My answer is far too soon. I think it's far too soon to do it. Like, let's start the next steps and get him back and, like, say that he's being, like, supportive and being there. But, redemption? We're going to flaunt that with custom hoodies?
What are you redeeming?
I got missed.
He got back on a basketball court. He didn't come back from war.
I appreciate how much T. Morant is there for Ja Morant. I don't get the hoodies and where we're going with that.
I don't know.
Speaking of not knowing where we're going with it, Mike Conley spoke about the MVP and said, quote, I love Jokic, but two times I played against Joel Embiid this year. I think he got 60 the first time he played him in Philly. In Minnesota, I think he didn't even have to play the fourth, but had like 40. I haven't seen anyone be as dominant as him with my own eyes this season. My question is,
count it up.
How soon can we be done talking about the MVP?
At the end of the season.
That's it? We're just going to keep doing it?
You got to keep doing it. Hey, listen. Here's why. I think the thing is, the interesting thing is, Jokic is peanut butter and jelly. Solid, consistent. You know what I mean? You know what you're going to get from him.
Really high stats. The advanced stats are real good. You got the protein.
Advanced stats on PB&J is crazy out here. You know what I mean? And then you throw in Michael Porter Jr., that's a glass of milk next to it. You know what I'm talking about? But here's the tough part about Embiid. Embiid keeps doing stuff that makes you just go, wow. Not that I've never seen this before, but how you're doing it is different. Joel Embiid put us away in the first quarter.
That's tough in today's NBA.
Then, hey, and then didn't play the rest of the game. He went 5 for 6 in the first quarter, had 12 points, and we were down 23-1 today. 23-1, and then he didn't come back. And they beat us by 20. Now, that may say more about us than them. That may say more about us than him. But it was just the fact that I was like, he really put us away in the first 7 minutes of a game, and we never recovered. After we beat him, his flex wasn't, I'm going to come in and put 60 up on you. His flex was, I'm going to destroy you, and then I'm going to go in the back and eat nachos and watch anime. Because I know the game is over.
It's like that new season of Attack on Titans coming out. I got
he's a good man.
Last one here. Willis Reed passed away. It was confirmed recently that Willis Reed passed away. So I just wanted to do
count it up.
7-time All-Star, 2-time champion, 2-time Finals MVP, the All-Rookie Team, Rookie of the Year in 1965, 5-time All-NBA, MVP in 1970, part of the NBA 75th anniversary team. He only really played 7 years, like 7 full years, or like 8 full years if you consider that 1973 year where he went and won the title again. But he was limited by knee injuries. You don't know what this guy's career could have been if he hadn't been limited to those knee injuries, but did so much in his career. So yeah, shout out to an incredible career for Willis Reed, and rest in peace.
Big love to Willis Reed, man. It's always moments like these that makes me tell people stop sitting there trying to compare everybody to everybody and appreciate what you're seeing on the court, because the NBA is starting to lose its pillars, man. We've lost Bill. Wilt was already gone. Now we're losing Willis Reed. Mm. Those top dogs, Kobe Bryant, of course, a major one and a tragedy. But like those guys that you thought you were going to sit there and be able to just throw their names out forever, they're starting to fall off a little bit. They're aging. And I think the thing is with the NBA, it's such a young, it's still like technically a young league. So all of our pillars, we've grown up and also
they've been alive, our
entire lives. So enjoy these people's games for what it is, man. These guys come out and they put their hearts on their sleeve and they entertain us night in and night out. And it's a much more entertaining game when you could watch it from that aspect and not, is he better than Michael Jordan? You know what I mean? Like I enjoy that a little bit more.
Absolutely. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us on Locked On NBA, making us your first listen. Go make your second listen. Locked On NBA Game to Game. You hear from guys like me and Pat breaking down our teams. I was in the arena. You can hear the lack of excitement in the arena after on mine. And Locked On NBA Game to Game, wherever you're listening to this show right now, you can listen to Locked On NBA Game to Game. It's a breakdown from each of our hosts. Guys, thanks so much for listening to Locked On NBA.
Bye-bye.
Boom!